Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with my good friend and colleague, author of Intimate Deception, Dr. Sherry Keffer. Hi, Sherry. How you doing?
Hey, great. It's great to be here with you today, Steve, and everybody else.
You know, January 3rd, New Year, a lot of folks are kind of into the New Year, and maybe, you know, you're still, could be, reeling over what happened during the holidays. You know, maybe a family crisis, or you had to go and spend time with somebody that just really bothered you. Maybe the greatest gift we could give to you is a hint or two on forgiveness so that you're not wasting all of 2019 on something that happened over Christmas in 2018. And, you know, Sherry, one of the things that I think you're really good at, and I think it's a help to all people, is, you know, first, to forgive somebody, you have to see them as a fellow struggler, as a human being, and not, you know, not an uncaring monster. Maybe an uncaring monster, so to speak, kind of created this person that has hurt you or whatever. And so it's not excusing, but it is trying to humanize them a little bit and see them as hurt also. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think sometimes it's hard to do that. And I think sometimes there's two reasons that it's hard to do that. One of them is that it's complex. Like sometimes it's hard for us to see somebody as a fellow struggler because we mm-hmm. may have been hurt by other people in our past. So we have somewhat of a cumulative effect, right? I'm holding unforgiveness against this person because, you know, I've had other people hurt me in my past. And so it seems so potent that it's hard to really address that. And then mm-hmm. I think the second thing, and this is maybe a little different point, is sometimes we struggle with forgiveness, and it's because we're still being hurt by that person.
Yes,
it's really
yes.
not the time to forgive. It's more the time to get safe. But we can't just sit there and wait to get safe. We have to do things like calls to action, like come to a workshop or get that person that's hurting us into treatment or mm-hmm. go into treatment ourselves, right? So we hold on forgiveness because we're being hurt daily, right? We're being abused, hurt, mm-hmm. but we can't just stay there and allow yeah. the hurt to continue. Something needs to change.
Yeah, you know, it seems like there are two different things that happen. Some people excuse it and enable something, and then they think that's forgiveness. And then other people don't forgive because they think that would be excusing or enabling. We can get it so wrong, but really, forgiveness is something you do for you, and it doesn't endorse or enable or excuse, but it sets you free so you're not resenting, no matter what the other person does. Not easy. And, you know, Dave Soup's got a great book, Forgiving What You Can't Forget. You know, those things that just are so very difficult to get over and move on from. And we've got that at newlife.com or 1-800. New Life. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We've got phone calls lined up for you here. Excited you're with us here today. It's a new year. And even, you know, one of the great gifts, if you've already relapsed from whatever problem you have, get back in there and just give it another shot with maybe more support and another meeting to go to or something. But don't give up just because you might have already made a little error in judgment. We'll be back right after this with your phone calls on New Life Live. Hi, Steve Arterburn here. We've got a brand new workshop coming up. It's January the 25th, and we're going to do it in Washington, D.C. It's a New Life Weekend. We're calling it Finding Freedom. And I don't know where you're stuck, but you can be free. We're going to talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. And it'll include the things that help you find that path to getting your life on track and staying on track. There'll be 8 teaching sessions, 6 small group sessions, and you can find out about it and sign up for it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Call us, talk to us if you want to be free. Finding Freedom, January the 25th, great way to start the year. You call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEWLIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Yeah, we're back. Steve Arterburn here. Let's go to Ron, Los Angeles, California. That's the station. Is Sirius XM there in L.A. Sirius 131. How you doing?
I'm good, Steve. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Yep. How can we help today? What's going on?
Well, I've been married about 15 years to my second wife. And in April, she indicated that she doesn't want to be married to me. I say indicated because she didn't come right out and say it. We have lived separately for about 6 years, 6.5 years. Part of the reason for our separation, we were living out of state, and she moved back here, which we thought would be temporary. But she's from, born and raised here, and I stayed back in another city and state where we lived, and then came back a couple of years after that, after I lost the job. But the reason I came back was because it was either that or lose my marriage at that time, and so I came back because I did want to stay married, but when I moved back, I had a lot of anxiety and some depression, you know, not the chemical kind, I guess, but just situational depression, having to move back here to Los Angeles. And that really had an effect on my attitude, and I chose to be anxious over it, and then my anxiety came out in ways that just didn't make me a nice person to be around.
Okay, so if we were talking with her, what would she say was the reason it became intolerable for her?
I honestly don't know, and I can't. I think she just feels hopeless that things would ever get better. That, you know, my attitude was pretty bad. I have to own that, and I've been working on that for the last 8 months. I think just I was not an easy person to be around because, you know, I was sarcastic and comments and that sort of thing. Just the bitterness and resentment that I felt not towards my wife, but, you know, just to the whole situation. So
okay, well, let me get Sherry to jump in here.
That would be the answer.
Okay.
Sherry? Oh, Ron, I thank you for calling today, because I hear that your heart is hurting and you don't like the state of affairs that you're in today. And but can I be really honest with you? I almost feel like I want to sit in your wife's shoes for a second, and I'm thinking she might say this. She might say this. She might say, Ron, I don't think you're going to change. For years, you have not heard me. You've minimized. You've made light of. You haven't heard my cries for to be heard, to be respected, to partner with me. There's these power struggles that we've lived with for years, and it just seems like I can't win. I don't know how to reach your heart. I don't know how to be heard by you. And I'm losing heart. That's what I think she might say.
What do you think?
I appreciate that. And you know, I do want to hear that from her, but it's I've tried to reach out, you know, since 8 months ago. And you know, there's other circumstances. It's a long story. But Sherry, I appreciate, you know, what you're telling me there. Just what I want to do is, and I have been working on myself, and I'm in a better place now than I was 8 months ago when kind of we got to the end of our rope, or my wife got to the end of her rope. And I just sensed a feeling of resignation, just like you're saying, that you know, I just don't see it changing or getting any better. And I would like to hear that from her, but, you know, a text here and a text there, or, you know, just no response, you know, with really no closure. Like, and I understand about free will, making choices. And if she doesn't want to be married to me, I can accept that, but I don't have that definite closure.
Yeah, I get it. But and so you're in acute pain right now, but we're not talking about just right now. We're talking about the state of affairs that your marriage has been in for some time. And you're not alone, Ron. I just heard from another person today who has a wife who just kind of got burnt out. She was trying to get his heart, and she just couldn't. And so because you're this close to losing her, right? Now you're waking up, right? You're coming out of that place of criticism or, you know, pride or bitterness or whatever you were holding on to. You're coming out of it, kind of like out of an iceberg. But she needs to hear more than anything else right now, humility. I have been disconnected and judging you and others and criticizing people for years. And I'm not sure you'll have me, and I can't even imagine why you would give me another shot, why you would even trust me again. But I really don't want to lose you. I am willing to do whatever it takes. Intensive therapy, couples work. I'm going to do whatever. And I hope it's not too late.
I think you've done something today that warrants a phone call. And that is, you know what? I've been talking about how sad it is that you want a divorce. I've been talking about how, yeah, it's been my fault, things like that, whatever. But today I called for some help. I called to talk to somebody. And the people said, if you really want your wife back, don't tell her you love her. Don't tell her you feel bad. Don't tell her you own your part. Go get some help. And tell her you're getting help. Tell her when the appointment is, if she wants to come, and tell them all the stuff that she thinks you ought to be dealing with. This is the kind of radical action that I think a woman can respond to and say, wait a second, that's never happened before. That's what you want. You want to do something. I've said it before, the three words that fix a relationship aren't I love you. They're I can change and I will change. And the contraction, I'm getting help. Those are the things that you can do. So this call, I think, huge. First step. But if you could follow it up with a second step that results in you getting some help face to face with somebody else, I think it's your best hope.
Yeah, no, and I, you're right on. And I can do that. And just so you know, I have tried that approach. I've talked to different counselors and have asked my wife to join or to meet us there. But like you're saying, Cher, I mean, she just may feel like I can't do anything about it. But I'm willing to try again. And I'll go back and listen to this call because I think you guys have, given me some words that'll help me. Part of it is just, how do I express verbally what, what I feel deep down. And
I don't think it's the time.
We don't always do that very well.
I know. My heart breaks. I got to tell you this, Ron. My heart breaks for men for this very reason, is I think they're deep wells. And I think so many of y'all, and I say this to all of you listening, gentlemen, is that there have been tremendous wounds, either lack, you didn't get stuff when you were growing up, or you were hurt by those that were close to you. And then you were not taught words. You were not taught words. Yeah. How do I express what I'm feeling? And so it can feel like a brick wall to people around you. Yeah. And there's a library of words out there, but we want them to be your words, right? And heartfelt and well thought out. And that takes time to even know how to find those. So you stay in the game. You work at getting to know your heart and getting humble and getting really honest with yourself.
Yeah. Well, it can make all the difference in the world. I'm so glad that you called. I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back and Healing is a Choice. I'm going to suggest you do whatever it takes that you've never done before. Far beyond expression, it's taking action. And I hope that you'll do it.
Would be a great place for him, Steve, would be to come to the Finding Freedom workshop in January, right? Because there's going to be so much information on how to help him address the stuck place he's feeling right now.
Well, and, I would hope he could do that. And if there's not money, maybe there's a scholarship. But here's the thing. People do everything they know to do. They just don't know everything to do.
Right.
And we're going to introduce them, as you know, to some things that maybe they've never thought of doing. Let's go to Shelley, Nashville, Tennessee, listens online. Hi there. How you doing?
Hi, I'm fine. Thank you for putting me on the air.
Yeah. How could we help?
My question is on estrangement. I'm currently estranged from my daughter and have been for several years. Right. And want to see if I should reach out or if I should let things be where they are.
Okay, so why are you estranged from her?
My daughter was in a relationship with a gentleman who had a little boy, and the little boy sexually molested my granddaughter, and my daughter refused to leave the man. And my granddaughter is who told us of the events, even though my daughter had on many occasions suggested that she knew things were going on. Mm-hmm. And when my granddaughter told me what was happening and we went to her mm-hmm. mom, my daughter, got angry and chose to ignore it. And because she chose to ignore it, I took my granddaughter to the doctor, as I was the one who always did. And my grandbaby told her pediatrician everything that was going on. And I eventually had to push it into the court systems because she refused to leave the man who had full custody of his son. Mm-hmm. And my grandbaby and this little boy shared the same bedroom.
Oh, my goodness.
Tragic.
And it's been, several years, and I've lost my husband since. So I'm lonely without my husband, mm-hmm. without my daughter and my grandchild.
Sure.
My grandchild lived with me for almost 4 years. And within just a couple of months of her moving out, I knew something was going on because I could see the signs. And my daughter kept telling me I was making things up. And my daughter said I made her look like a bad mom. because I pushed into the court system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, at Christmas, I sent, you know,
Hey, let me tell you something. Let me say this.
And never received a response.
Okay. Well, you know what?
I was informed when my husband passed, but
all right.
I didn't get anything from that.
You're a hero. You did the right thing. And for you to get anything back, redemptive, from your daughter who allowed this to happen, I think that would be shocking. But it doesn't make it any less painful when she doesn't respond. And I feel for you, and I want to talk to you. We want to talk to you about the loneliness, no matter what your daughter does. We want you to have the life that God intended for you. You're a hero. And one day, I think there is a grandchild that's going to know you're the one that came to the rescue. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be his.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. Sherry Keffer. And Sherry, I don't know. I mean, this is so tough. And there, so often there's no good outcome. There's no restitution. There's no restoration, no repair. So.
Yeah, it's so interesting, Steve. And Shelley, I have to tell you, I was thinking about you and writing some words down when you were sharing your story. And it's amazing to me that Steve used the word hero. And then I wrote unsung hero. Mm-hmm. So both of us had the very same interaction when we were hearing you. Because in your family, we both hear how you are this unsung hero, the woman that bravely did the right thing, that had to face her own fears of how her daughter might feel about what you were doing to protect her daughter, to protect your granddaughter. And if I was in your shoes, Shelley, I would have done exactly the same thing you did, which was the right thing. But I would be sitting in grief just like you are today. Because your daughter is sitting in shame. The shame that she feels, and I get so frustrated and hurt and probably even somewhat righteously angered over wondering about what's going on in this man's world, that he was out of touch with his son. His son was acting out, and there was nobody to oversee that, and your daughter was unwilling to disconnect from him for the safety of your daughter. And so you had to intervene. You had to.
Well, I thought of King David and the two women and the one woman that had lost the child. And
yes.
The woman who had the baby. And I thought, I'm going to probably lose my granddaughter, but at least I'll know she's safe.
Yeah.
And that's what I had to choose, because
yeah.
I could not rightfully go pick her up and take her and do some fun things and then take her back to that same home and
right.
live with myself.
And your daughter was your granddaughter was how old when she was molested?
She at three the first time. She was four by the time it was over.
Okay. I'm going to pray that she remembers that you were the grandma that was not. That you didn't lose her, but you saved her. You saved her from repeated possible years of sexual abuse. You know, I sit with people in my office every day, Shelley, who didn't have a grandma like you. And they were being molested in a very similar situation like this. And it not only didn't, it started at three and it didn't stop at four. It went to 7, 8, 9 years old. And
that's what I tried to express to my daughter.
I know.
If you don't stop it now, this could go on her entire life. She's like, we're going to go to counseling. I said, I don't care about counseling.
Yes.
Why should she have to be exposed to this?
That was the right thing to do. 100%. But it cost you, right? It cost you a lot.
It cost me a husband as well as a grandbaby and a daughter.
I understand. And that's why
my husband had a death wish and he died 2 years later.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Sexual abuse devastates the whole family, doesn't it? It devastates the whole family. And that's why I'm a mandated reporter and others are mandated reporters, because we have to do what we know is right for that child, that innocent little victim that can't say no, that can't say stop. And that if you didn't save her, she could have been even more fractured, more impacted than she already is.
Mm-hmm.
But you are that warrior. You're that unsung hero. And I'm sorry that you've had such pain over that. But I want to give you a purple heart. I want to give you a badge of honor. And the kingdom of heaven that day celebrated that you were brave enough to step in and save her. The kingdom of heaven in the courts of heaven celebrated that day that you went in just like Jesus would have to rescue.
And I am grateful that this is not one of those calls from someone who says, I knew what I should have done, and I did not have the courage to do it. You're not that person, and we're so grateful that you are who you are. And so I know it's tough. And just as Matthew tells us that a child's angels are in the presence of God, making sure that God does not miss any kind of harmful treatment done to one of his children, I believe those angels also pointed out to God there was a brave grandmother who did the right thing.
She did.
At a great cost. And they made sure that God did not miss that either. I'm going to send you this Bible, the Restoration Bible. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I'm hoping somebody could help you with a scholarship to get over to our Finding Freedom workshop, because I want you to be free of the shame and the guilt. But I really believe some good things just might be ahead for you as a grandbaby becomes a grandchild and discovers I had a hero in my life, and I never knew it.
Yep, and wouldn't it be great, Steve, if one of our listeners who has come through being molested chose this grandma to support her to come to the conference?
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live. We have something pretty exciting coming up, and it's in March. It is a trip to Israel. Our trips are very special, and the teaching is rich. The experience is priceless. And we're also going to go to Rome in addition to it. It's the 16th through the 26th.
When I went to Israel, my whole view of the Bible absolutely changed. I had a reference point to visualize.
Yeah. We're going to go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the temple steps, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas' house, and more.
For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me because I've been there.
You will not be disappointed in Israel. It is a special, rich, rich time. If you want more information on Israel, I hope you'll look at it on our website, newlife.com.
Last year, after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and we're really glad that you're with us. We've talked about the Finding Freedom workshop. It is on January 25th, and you know, whatever it is that you need help getting free from, or really to be able to live this life that God has provided for us, don't struggle alone. It's going to be an amazing time. You'll leave there a different person. And then we've got Every Man's Battle. Of course, we do it every single month. And if somebody you know and love needs it, just tell them. Call. Used to, most of the calls were from women first. Now, men are just calling. They're not waiting to get caught or something like that. They're saying, I've got to take care of this. And we love that. And then our Intimacy in Marriage Intensive, that's going to be in February, Restore in March. A lot of those workshops just for you. And then, you know, you don't need to call us just because you need a workshop. We've got counselors everywhere that can help you no matter what it is you're struggling with. Let us help. Don't struggle alone. No need to struggle alone. Please let us help you. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And that's also the number you can call to support this ministry. All right, let's go to Jennifer. She's calling from Washington, D.C. Glad that she is. Hi, Jennifer. Welcome. Welcome to New Life. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
What's going on in your life today?
Sherry basically described me to the gentleman a few calls earlier.
Oh, really?
Exactly that woman who is saying, I've been telling you for years what I need, and I'm basically unable to continue. Our relationship is so disfragmented that I can't even look at him as my, I just don't even have any feelings for him any longer. I just don't really, at this point, know what to do. We just exist next to each other, and it's just a miserable existence.
What have you done?
Well, I mean, nothing in terms of, like, like counseling and things like that, because he just says, we know what each one needs, we just need to do it, but nothing ever gets done. And he's just kind of a person who has no motivation, he has no, like, there's nothing that energizes him. So, like, we need it. Like, he'll do something if I do it first. Like, we need a new home. Well, if I save enough money, then we can buy a new home.
Or, okay, so I'm thinking, you know, if you have that kind of initiative and ability to get things done and do things, I think it would ring loud and clear to him if you got some help for you, separate from whether or not he wanted to get any help. Sherry, what are you thinking in this kind of situation?
Well, it sounds like from what you've told us, Jennifer, and I'm glad it resonated with your heart. First off, I'm sorry. And the truth is, you're not alone, right? But remember what Ron said at the end of the call, where he doesn't have the words to know what to say, right? He's like, I don't even know how to say these things, right? And Mylan and Kay in their book called How We Love, they talk about soul words, like words that many of us haven't learned while we're growing up to be able to communicate. So when I hear you say, what he says is, well, we know what to do, we just need to do it.
Right.
You know what I know how I translate that over? It's like, doot, 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 doot. This is what I translate it over to, is we don't know what we need to do to get us out of the situation we're in. That's really what he's saying. Because he's saying, we know what to do, but you know what? He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know, and you don't know what to do. And that's what
would have been done.
Yeah, that's what's kind of sad. Right. Steve was asking you, what have you all done? And you're like, nothing. And nothing, there's no shame in nothing, right? You're just being honest with us. But guess what nothing comes from? It comes from, we don't know what to do. We're really stuck. And so,
and I feel like I'm to the point where I can't ever turn this around. I don't feel like I can ever find the love for him that I had when we got married, because he's just nothing to me anymore. He means nothing to me.
Yeah. So it's like you all have settled to be, you've just settled into roommates, right? And not, maybe not even roommates.
Exactly,
roommates might even be a little nicer, right? So you
probably,
you can't maintain a passivity. So let me just ask you a question. When you guys were courting, when you guys first met, what was there that made you marry each other? Right? Because we don't like choose to marry someone we don't like.
Yeah.
Right? So
no, like I thought he was definitely going to be a go-getter. He had great goals and ambitions. You know, we had similar goals in terms of like what we wanted our family and our home to look like. But since we've had children, he's even said, I'm completely content. Like, I don't want to have to work more hours. I want to be, you know, I want to stay in this house that's one bedroom too small and we're exploding at the seams, because this makes our life easy and I'm happy here.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's done, because he's found contentment. He's done. And I still have all the goals and stuff that we had previously, but I can't move because he's stuck.
Yeah, but you know, it's not just stuck in the house department and the room. It's stuck in relationship. Steve, let me ask you this. And you know, you being married to Misty and me being married to Kyle, can you and I actually grow in our marriages by just doing nothing?
Well, I love the word nothing. I just preached a sermon on thanks for nothing, because Misty and I did reach a point where we felt like we, just like you, you said, I don't feel anything. And so the counselor said, okay, so look what you guys have in common. Nothing. Let's start there. And so we weren't going to ever be different, like the point Sherry's making here. We weren't going to be different by doing nothing. We had to start there. Now, both of you have to start there. And so you start and you get the help that you need, and then you demand that he come along with you after you've started to get that help, so that his point can be heard. You could say that, or that something could be done that would be different. But you're not going to get better by just letting him be content there, you have to work with a counselor that's going to say, okay, let's try this, to get him here, to get him involved and get him active. Or you come to the marriage intensive. We've seen people that they had something. It was hatred is what they had. And before it was over with, mm-hmm. they turned that into a new relationship. So anything's possible if we could get both of you guys back working together. You'd have to give up this thing of, well, you know, there's no hope, and he'd have to give up this, there's nothing I'm willing to do. But we've seen it happen before, where people really do make a 180-degree turn, and things get better. That's what I'd be hoping for you guys.
I've worked, just exactly what Steve is saying, Jennifer, I've worked with some folks where I'll meet with the wife first, because her husband is doing no thing. He's nothing. He's like a brick, right? And so we start working together, and the insights that she starts to get, and she gets more empowered, and she begins to get stronger. And then we make an appeal, right? And she's not alone anymore because she's got me. Then we make an appeal. We begin to invite, and then we get him into his treatment. Does he come? No. He comes kicking and screaming, doesn't want to be there. But then guess what? He begins to see, and he meets with somebody, another counselor, and he goes, oh, this isn't so bad. This person isn't... You know, it's not what I thought it would look like. And then you've got either one or two counselors that are fighting for you and with you. But you can't change something until you become the change. You've got to make that first step, my dear. And Steve's right. If he won't come, then you start. You start the spark, and you begin to look. Any therapist is going to sit with you just like we are. They're going to have an ache in their heart over how frustrating things are for you.
That's right.
But they're not going to want to stop there. They're going to want to help you figure out what you need to help turn things around.
Yeah. So
do you think that the one that's here in January is would be helpful for me, or is that not really for me?
No, it would help you. It'd help better if both of you would come. But what you'd really want is both of you to come to the February Intimacy in Marriage Intensive. That would be the one that would provide the most hope for a couple who have graduated to this place where you are, where you're saying there's nothing there.
Right.
I mean, it is a miraculous weekend for people like you. So you might want to say to him, I don't want you to commit to a year of counseling. I don't want you, but here's what I'm asking. One thing, give me 48 hours at that workshop. You go on Friday, you're finished on Sunday. And it's 48 hours of going to work and seeing what's there. And once you get there, see, then God is able to do some miraculous things. But you have to get there. And so sometimes you just say, this is the one thing I'm asking you to do. And oh, my goodness. I don't think you'll ever, ever regret it. I don't think he will either. We'll take a break. Come right back.
Said, we need to talk. She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. You know, I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. You know, I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. You know, they'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, you know, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop. Take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. You know, it's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, you know, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at.
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools
to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad you're with us here today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help or you want to help us, Club New Life, a great way to gradually, month by month, support this ministry, become the foundation there. We'll give you access to a video library, including four brand new videos by Mylon and Kay Yurkovich. One of those videos is all about parenting an adult child. Oh my goodness, there are just a few people who want that video. And so many things. How do we love in pain? You know, what is that all about? So many great videos that we have, but these four new ones from Mylon and Kay, they're powerful. 12 things that can change any relationship. One of those videos. So call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Get involved. Become a member of Club New Life. I don't think you'll ever regret it. Okay, let's go to Leon. Final caller here. Glad you held on. Knuckletown, Pennsylvania is where he's calling from. Hey, Leon, how are you?
Hi, Steve. Yes, I'm calling in regards of I kind of have a disgruntled family, and what it is they're very controlled, and they moved me back to Pennsylvania and into a home my dad and my brother purchased. But they told me they were going to take care of all the other things because I'm disabled, and they hold that over my head. But on the other hand, I took care of my mom for years, and they let her, like a child, get away with everything, which I'm not lazy, and I've tried to do what I can, even with my disability. But every time I bring something up or say something, it's like walking on glass. And I appreciate what they did, but they told me that they would be closer to help me with stuff, but it's always like moaning and groaning, like they don't have time. They're not Christian, and my brother and my sister-in-law are alcoholics, and it bothers me that they brought me all the way here. And they don't spend the time they should, and they like I said, they remind me of what they did, probably because they're not Christian.
So,
and it makes me
feel
very
burdened. How are you hoping,
when
you thought about calling us, how are you hoping we might be able to help you today? What were you thinking? You have a question for
us? What do I say, and how can I deal with someone like that without having a conflict, even if I'm asking a normal question, and to try to get an answer instead of being totally ignored because they don't want to hear it. And this is how it's been ever since I was a child with my learning disability. They never wanted to have an answer to. They didn't want to answer the answer. It was more abuse and verbal abuse.
Hold on. I want Sherry to answer, but here's something that I'm kind of suspecting here, especially if it's gone on for so long, and that is that what you're wanting from them, they may not have the strength or the maturity or compassion or humanity to provide it. And you're going to, rather than continue, you know, that old blood out of a turnip thing, rather than continue to seek it from them, you may have to really start looking to other resources for the kind of support, care, love, concern that you want. Sherry, what are you thinking here? I mean, this is a tragic situation. Feels so alone.
Yeah, and you said it's a learning disability, correct? Are you physically disabled or learning?
Yes, I am. I have Lyme disease.
Okay.
Crohn's fatigue and spinal disease from one tick from 21 years ago.
Wow.
And
wow.
This is the thing that confuses me. The way they were with my mother comparing to with me when I used to care and love for my mom and I made sacrifices. I didn't go to college and didn't go to learn how to read and write and get an education that would have helped me and had a job.
Yeah.
I sacrificed all that at 16 when I knew I was going to have a government scholarship education.
Yeah, let me tell you what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
We had another caller that called the other day that what Steve and I could feel was kind of this unsung hero, somebody that did something that cost them a lot, and they really didn't get seen or heard for that. And so I hear that wound. And so what that can do in us, though, this is the crazy thing. Just like Lyme's is such a crazy disease and it's so impacting, do you know that bitterness can take over our hearts, too? Bitterness can cause us to stay in demands and wants that we can't have met because we haven't had anybody really validate us like Steve and I could today and say, Leon, you did an amazing job with your mom.
Yeah.
You gave up so much for her. And I'm sorry you weren't seen. And I think right now, Leon, more than anything else, I think you need to be seen. And I just went online to see if I could find a Lyme's disease, a Lyme's support group online. And it looks like there's some online support group for people that have Lyme's disease. And I bet more than a shadow of a doubt, Leon, if you were to go on there and start sharing your story, I bet you there would be other people that would hear you and validate you and understand exactly where you're at.
I believe that's true. Now, I'm going to send you Every Man's Bible because it's one of the easiest Bibles to understand, and I hope you'll enjoy it. I'm going to ask folks to pray for you, and I believe that one day in the future, you're going to experience that hero's welcome someplace. Somebody's going to acknowledge, just like we do. You've made a sacrifice. You've done the right thing. But man, oh man, it's a great challenge to all of us to look around and see the folks that are the heroes that aren't being recognized and who in the world could we encourage today with a phone call or a note or something like that. Well, I feel for him and I pray for all of you. You know, some of you, maybe you're disabled, and that phone call just resonated with you. God bless you, and I'm so glad that you listened to us, and please continue to listen. Tell others about the program. If we can help you in any way, we have people, they get up in the morning, they say, I'm going to go to work, I'm going to change somebody's life today, and that's exactly what they do. And you just have to call us and let us help you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you go to newlife.com if you just want to go to the website. But 1-800-NEW-LIFE, you get a real live human being that is trained and talented and just wants to make a big, big difference in your life. So please give them that chance. That is why they came to work, to help you. It's a great time for restoration and starting over. If you want some help with that, it's the Restoration Bible. We have a workshop. We have counselors. We have resources, and including Sherry's great book, Intimate Deception. Tell us the subtitle of that, Sherry.
Yeah, it's Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.